pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Last day of the week for the program. Last hour of the week for the program. Coming up here in about a half hour, Gary Palmer, congressman for the 6th Congressional District, will be with us. We'll get his read on politics in D.C. And we'll talk some America 250 as well. So please stick around for that. Joining us now, we usually do this on Fridays, but we'll have Fisher House tomorrow. State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, joins us here on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. It's a beautiful day in South Alabama, and I got to go play hooky this morning and go fishing with my son. So that was fun.
I bet it's nice and cool out there, isn't it?
It wasn't too bad. We quit about 8 o'clock, and so it had gotten up to about 82 degrees. So we missed most of the heat, caught some Spanish mackerel right off the beach, didn't have to run too far, and got back home. So it worked out well.
Sounds like a productive day already for you. Hey, this is coming up, and we've talked about this before, the bridge situation, and I guess we're having a little buyer's remorse here. There's some hope from the mayors down there, Kennan and Kraft, that something's done to just make it two-way traffic on those bridges. Is there any prospect of that, especially if there's a new ALDOT director?
So I know both of the mayors have been pretty vocal with Coach about that issue, and as well as some business interests down there for obvious reasons. And I think that there may be some traction there. I hope there is. But we have to understand how we got here, right? There wasn't an option to build a brand new bridge right next to the existing bridge and utilize the existing infrastructure that was already there. Remember, we have four lanes going to that one two-lane bridge that was the toll bridge. And it would have been, in my estimation, practical to put another bridge right next to it and use those existing lanes. But we couldn't do that because the state didn't own that property, right? The toll company did. And so in ALDOT's mind, and probably more specifically the ALDOT director's mind, he had to force the toll company into selling him that bridge before he could make this scheme that is currently working out happen. And so the only way to do that was to build this other bridge in a completely different location. And so that's what he did. And the reason it is what it is likely because that was the least expensive option, right? If you just have one-way traffic going in one direction, you don't need to have as many safety features to keep cars apart, and there are fewer lanes from a turning standpoint and everything else. And so the reason it is designed like it is, and the reason there's a whole nother roadway to get to it, is because Director Cooper was right in the middle of trying to, we're going to call it negotiating to be generous, with the toll company. And that's why this thing developed like it did. Should it have gone that way? Certainly there are a lot of arguments that it shouldn't have, but that's why this happened. The bridges that exist right now is not designed based on what is the best traffic flow or what's best for one community or the other. It was based on what will force the toll company to sell us that bridge.
Here's the question then, if you go two ways on those bridges again, who's going to use that middle bridge?
Yeah, so I think that the tourists will by and large use the more of the Orange Beach Bridge. And I said Orange Beach, the bridge there at the wharf, if there's another span there, because most of the traffic is coming out of Orange Beach on that side. The answer to your question, though, is probably Gulf Shores residents will use the other bridge. And that's because it spits out right there by the Gulf Shores High School now that has been constructed. And so I think, you know, part of Mayor Kraft's frustration is there was at least initially an understanding that that was going to be a two-way bridge. There were a lot of decisions made by the city based on, you know, a reliance on that. Like, we're going to put a $150 million high school right here. And then that changed after the city had made certain plans. And it really put Gulf Shores in an awkward position where those residents are having to go all the way to the wharf to then go north to get to that high school. And so they're driving to Orange Beach to get back to Gulf Shores. And it's an odd pattern, but it's odd because of the leverage that was trying to be applied to the toll company to try to force them to sell their asset. And that's how we got here.
Is there the possibility ever someday of going through Gulf State Park? I mean, it may be 20 years and just building a connector there to the beach and opening that up.
Yeah, there's a very real possibility of that, and it won't be 20 years before that happens. There is a federal court order that was part of a settlement agreement between the state and some environmental groups that was related to BP funding being used for the renovation of the Gulf State Park and specifically the lodge that precluded the use of what is a road just back west of the fire station there off of Canal Road. In Orange Beach to build what has always been called the Cross Island Connector. And there's a roadway that goes about 90% of the way all the way down to the beach road. And there's a power line that goes down. And you can drive, well, you're probably not supposed to drive, but a vehicle can drive all the way down or almost all the way down to the beach road. And so that's been seen by locals as a very logical way to get traffic down to the island, to the beach, without it having to spill through the cities itself. And so I think we have a number of years left on that agreement. There was about a 20-year moratorium, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah. Bentley, right? And
that's right. Yes. The ghost of Robert Bentley. And so there are only, you know, probably 6 to 8 years left on that agreement. And you know how long road projects take to design, permit, et cetera. And so I think that in the next administration, an argument could certainly be made that we need to start looking at what the design parameters would be for that, what the cost would be, what the environmental implications would be, in all fairness, and how we make that happen, and if we make that happen. And so once I think you go through that process, then you're going to be running up against that prohibition time limit, and you could actually move forward with a project if that was determined that that was the way to go. But I think we can start talking in the next year or two about that being a reality. And listen, we're going to have to continue. I mean, we're going to have to continue to look at roadway improvements. We're going to have to look at new bridges. We're going to have to look at new ways to get folks around. We, you know, not too long ago, widened Canal Road with restore money largely to that 5 lanes that it is now because it wasn't nearly sufficient. And the next thing is, you know, the bypass there behind the Tom Thumb where 161 turns down to the beach. And so that's funded. Jerry Carl was instrumental in getting some of that funding from the feds, and Senator Britt was instrumental in making sure it stayed in there. But those are things that are on the cusp of happening. But we're going to be building roads in Baldwin County for the foreseeable future because we grow at 8,000 people a year, and then we have 8.5 million visitors that come here a year. And the combination of the two means we are going to be growing. Our road capacity has got to be growing, and that's something I fight for every day in Montgomery.
And I guess while we're on this tangent here about roads, going north on the Beach Express from Buc-ee's north up to 65, any movement on that?
Yes, there is movement on that. And the County Commission, at my urging and others down at the beach, has been proactive in starting to acquire some of that right-of-way. And that's the time-consuming part, right? That's, you have to go through the courts and the condemnation process and everything else. And so they have been starting to acquire that right of way. My hope is that the next administration and the next governor looks at this right of way that's already been acquired by the county commission. The county commission, I think, is going to be prepared to give it to the state, just as they just got through giving the Baldwin Beach Express to the state. Right? We need to go ahead and carry the water, do the work on the front end, show the vision of how this is going to work, hand it over to the state, and then let the state construct the road itself. But if we wait for the state to realize it needs to happen, we wait for the state to go through the condemnation process, it will take another decade to get that done. The commission's done good work in moving ahead on that so that is a foregone conclusion. It just needs the funding and it needs the state to move forward. But I think the next governor and the next LDOT director are going to be very keen on that project.
Any sense of what direction that's going to look like under Tuberville? Like, we haven't talked a lot about cabinet or any of that, but I think we're getting close enough now to start kind of wondering, like, what's Montgomery going to look like this time of year from now?
Yeah, I've had some very limited conversations with coach and his staff, and so far they've been good. He's been very focused still on being the United States Senator, which we need him to be right now. But I expect that as these as these residency challenges go away, they will be much more focused on transition. He's, you know, in my mind, in your mind, and most anybody that's thinking he's the Republican nominee. He's going to be the governor. Now it's you know, they're moving into transition, and so as they put their transition team together, I expect them to start looking at key cabinet level positions, and of course Aldott's, you know, certainly one of those. And so I'm hopeful that we'll have an Aldott director who is keen on solving problems in areas of this state that generate revenue, and not necessarily as keen on spreading the wealth to other parts of the state that frankly have been getting more than their share, okay, under Governor Ivey. And so, you know, the way to grow the pie and the way to truly develop our economy is to make sure we invest in parts of the state that are growing. That's us. That's Huntsville, right? Those areas in particular, it's Auburn to some extent. You know, where are places growing? Where do we need the road capacity, and not just necessarily where do we want it or where would it be nice.
So take it you weren't at the ribbon cutting for the Linden bypass last week, were you?
Well, I'm not so sure that rural Alabama needs a bypass. That seems counterintuitive to me. But, you know, the governor says that is an economic development project. It seems antithetical to me. And I think most folks in rural economic development that I've talked to. But she's the governor for now. And we have the Aldott director we have for now. And no, I was not invited to the ribbon cutting.
Yeah, when have these kind of bypasses ever really, I mean, and you know, there's a few that have come up in the last 20 years around the state, 280, some 43. I mean, they're not like big places of growth where you bypass these towns where the road used to go through town, are they?
Bypasses seem to work in major metropolitan areas where you hear the, you know, the loop term used, right? And then those areas grow up around the metropolitan area. They tend to be disasters for small towns who are trying to attract more attention, attract more traffic to their small towns, certainly not to bypass it. That again seems to me and to most small town economic developers that I've dealt with over the years. That's the last thing they want.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it worked kind of with the Folly Beach Express or 459, the creation of Hoover. I mean, you're right. In metropolitan areas, they should spur growth, but you're spreading what is amounts to really nothing out around more, and that's ideally. But I still haven't figured out the mystery of the West Alabama corridor there, but it's coming along. It's one of the most efficient highway projects in the history of the state.
Well, I think that's because this governor and this Aldott director knows that they absolutely must show substantial progress, so substantial that it wouldn't make sense to stop the project before you have a new governor. And they very well may do that. They may be very successful with that. I mean, I'll say this, if the West Alabama corridor is 85% complete, you know, when the new governor says, hey, we really shouldn't have done this, you know, it may not make very much sense to really change there. You may just say, well, this is something we're going to have to live with. This is going to be a vestige of the Ivey administration that is, you know, we are encumbered with and move on. It may not make sense to cancel a project that's that far along.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, Senator, we got to leave it there, but thanks for hopping on short notice, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much for having me. Y'all have a great 4th of July.
Thank you. State Senator Chris Elliott. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Still on the scene.